What's going down, everyone? It's time for the MojoBreak.com hype episode 333, which is great because we've got more than three new releases today to talk about with you guys. You guys are probably listening to this on Thursday, but big week in the hobby. It's time to get your Don West on. We've got Flawless Basketball. We've got Obsidian Football. We've got Transcendent Baseball. Lots of stuff going on. There's also Big League and some other stuff I'm forgetting about, but you know, we're going to get into talking about that. We've got some quarterback call-ups. We've got opening day highlights. And we've got some stuff from Don West. Don West is going to speak, guys. Are you guys excited to hear the great Don West?
You buy this for $39.99. Guess what, folks? You take the L away. You put a W there, baby. You're a winner, man. You're the real deal. You're picking up chicks. Let me tell you something. You buy this set at $39.99, baby. You're the cock of the walk, man. You walk into the bar and you just find the hottest chick and you go, you, me, guess what? She says, why would I go out with you? Because I bought the deal on Wild West Deals for $39.99, that's why. She says, can I go home with you? That's how simple it is. That's how it works. That's what this set brings to the table. Because you know what she sees? She sees a man who knows what he wants. She sees a man who says, good deals don't get by me, baby. I move. I act quick. I act now.
Basically, that dude is amazing. I feel that we, as salespeople, need to channel that more often. We should be doing that in our live feeds.
Yeah, I mean, that energy. I want to go back. I wish I could buy that deal right
Jake
now.
Jake should be in there in Fanatics Live telling people, like, you got to take that W.
Yeah.
You got to go into that club. And you got to have that arm candy on you walking in there. And you want to know why they got you? It's because you took advantage of the Fanatics Live deals that are going live right now.
I got
some Transcendent, some Tribute, some Flawless.
Sprinkle in an occasional flare just because, like, it feels good.
I mean, and honestly, Don West probably thought that it's probably worked for him. He's probably walked into a club, walked into a bar, and he's like, do you know who I am? Don West.
Hey, pretty lady, I got a full set of 86 tops with your name on it.
So I wanted us all to try to channel our Don West here. Satire.
We just did.
Purposes. I'll go first. I wrote something out, so I mean, I don't expect, I don't know what you guys will think on this one, but I'm going to pretend like I'm Don West. I'm selling you guys something. So here we go. And I'll do my best. Folks, we got Space Jam 2. And let me tell you that this is a product that will cause FOMO with all your friends. We got Bugs, Tweety, Yosemite Sam. Normally $300 today, $40. Oh, wow. Good Lord. Oh, did I mention there's a 1 in 500,000 chance at a LeBron auto? I'll take those odds. Better than the state lottery. Let me break this down, guys. Let me break this down. There's two sides of life. 2 points of views in society. There's those who own a box of Space Jam 2 and those who missed out on this deal. And those people are losers. It's $39.99 to be cool. Let me ask you all something. Are you a winner or are you a loser? I got 1,000 boxes available of the world's best product. I would buy 100 boxes if I was you and gift it to 99 friends and keep one so that they are not losers. Be part of the winning team. Mike Rubin's White Party has nothing on your newfound Space Jam 2 party with 99 friends. If Jay-Z doesn't have a box of this, he's a loser. If DiCaprio doesn't have one of these boxes, he's a loser. Your quality of life will change by having one of these boxes. You will have a strut in your step. You will go to Whole Foods and people look at you and the strut and wonder, how is this guy so cool? Ask those people, did they buy Space Jam 2? That is the key to success in this life. No matter how attractive or unattractive you are, just by owning one of these boxes, you will be the most attractive person at any place you go. Let me break it down for you. Go to a place and George Clooney and Brad Pitt is there, all the ladies will flock to you to find out more. You will be the most popular guy, more than the Dos Equis guy. You will be the most interesting man in the world.
Wow.
Well, okay. Well,
how do any of us follow that up?
I think that we're going to have to combine all of our free form improv skill set.
I don't know if I peaked the audio. To, that one.
Oh, 100%. I don't even have headphones on, but I could see the blood trickling out of Cody's ear. So.
So Space Jam 2, how many do you want?
Space Jam, man. Well, now I think I want a lot more than I think I want at least five.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at least one box for me.
Yeah.
See, I go back and I think of – so Don West, obviously iconic, right? Iconic Home Shopping Network, I think QVC at one point, and then the one that you were previewing I think was later on. I think it was his own like YouTube
platform
that he was doing. But – I don't think anybody quite had the sales chops and delivery that he did. It was very, like, pro wrestling.
Which
he went into, which made perfect sense. Because if you look at those, like, old 80s, like, pro wrestling interviews, like, he had, it was like that type of intensity when he would sell stuff. And I think what actually put him over the top and put him back into the mainstream was truly that SNL skit. With Chris Kattan,
Will Ferrell, Don West,
and I think that actually like even brought it, because that was probably what, like, late 90s, early 2000s.
That was a great era of SNL where the last sketch of the night would be the weirdest thing that's ever been put on to national television, and they could just be like, I guarantee you Will Ferrell or one of them was like, I was watching the Home Shopping Network and there was this insane man on my TV and we have to perform him, and it took it off to another level.
And
it was amazing.
Dude, he wouldn't have been on there if he wasn't selling units.
Right.
No,
like,
exactly.
Like, that enthusiasm was selling units, dude. That
Absolutely.
Dude was selling. Now, I don't know if we can do a skip, but I think we can talk about who is the Don West of the modern sports card world.
Don't know if there
it's
is
gotta
one.
Be Golden, even though he doesn't have the same enthusiasm.
Yeah, I
but he it, also has ties to
could
Don
it,
West.
I mean, could it be, honestly, like, no one's going to be exactly Don West, right?
Yeah.
But can you say, like, I know they don't sell anything, but maybe Colin and Ryan, Sports Card Radio, with like the approach that they have with kind of the, it's not, again, not selling anything, and they're definitely not selling anything, but they have that like intensity approach that kind of Don West.
What about another breaker out there?
Yeah. I'll throw the Blez brothers out there, S. Blez, with the whole, this design of Prizm basketball is the greatest thing I have ever seen.
Fair,
that's very Don West.
Fair enough. Honestly, like, would people, like saying that, would that be insulting to the Blez guys? Being compared?
No, I don't want this to come off as an insult at all.
I'm not saying it's an insult. Would they, because if I was compared, I'd be like, it's the greatest compliment I've ever had in my life. But is there people in this industry, and I'm just to single out like Blez, because you compared him to like Don West to Blez, would he look at that as that's a diss on me? Like, I don't want to be compared to this
I would like
dude.
It. I would start to think I'd throw my hat.
But
ring,
I also think that
I don't do it enough to be.
I also think
know,
that we grew up with it. So it's very nostalgic for us. A lot of the people who are in the industry are not necessarily in our age demographic. So they probably look at that and go, well, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I think it's hard to pinpoint one specific person or operation that is like him, because it speaks to his influence, whether you know it or not, that I feel like everybody is kind of trying to copy that style today in this industry. Every breaker, every breaking operation is
knowingly
trying to copy that.
Or just so, organic. I'm in the sports card industry. This is how I'm going to be.
I think that there's people who started out who were the influence by Don West, loved watching it, thought, man, that guy's so funny. Also, it's great. He's a great salesman, who then they are now influencing another generation. So it's just sort of like
the trickle
through
down
osmosis. We've all been inspired by Don West.
I would even throw maybe Backyard in the ring in a way.
Absolutely.
I mean, as far as how, I mean, a lot of break. I mean, when you start getting convoluted in breaks, when you're like, I'm doing this, and I got a cereal filler, and then the top prize is going to get a Jordan Auto. You're actually like, you're getting to the point where you've thrown so many smoke and mirrors out at everybody that you're just, the people are going to buy, but they're confused. They don't know the actual what they're buying. And I think there's a little bit of that with what, I'm not saying it's like fake, but I'm not saying they're trying to be illegitimate. But like, you just start like Don West. It's like starts at 200. He throws in so many boxes to the point where like I don't even know the true value, but it seems like it's so much that I can't pass
it. It does. But how many of those deals that Don West was selling? Actually, if you purchase, you were able to turn a profit on.
Probably, I don't know.
Zero, right? Zero, right? And what is the mark of the greatest salesman ever? To be able to sell shit.
Who's your greatest salesman C-Red, of all time?
Greatest salesman.
It doesn't have to be in the hobby.
Damn, dude, it's got to be somebody from those infomercials growing up, just like
Billy
him.
Mays.
You know what I'm saying?
Billy Mays here. Yeah.
Yeah. There's. I mean, obviously, those people were great at their jobs.
You're a Gary Vee guy, right? Would you throw him in that category?
Yeah, I would say so. But I look at Gary Vee more for influence more than like he's trying to sell me on something. You know
What Gary Vee, I think, did, and you may have to mark this on the thing, is that he would do a video, and you're like, oh, this guy's very excited. And then he'd be like, if you don't like them, f*** them. You know, like, and it would just come like that, right? Because then you're like watching it. You're like you were caught off guard because the guy's selling something.
Yeah.
But then he would throw the F-bomb in there. And I give you a little bit of a hint on that one. And because, you know, and then it's like, oh, he take the approach of like being a super salesman, but then also trying to be real.
Mixing
as well.
It with being like a shock jock, sort of like, I'm being real. I'm not, no frills. We're cutting straight to the chase.
Right.
Yeah. The other guy who I in the Billy Mays vein, ShamWow guy.
Slap Chop guy?
Slap Chop. Yeah. Same guy. Same guy.
You're love your nuts.
You're going to love my nuts.
I mean, being sort of crass, like bordering between crass ShamWow. And you remember that? He's like, you get the ShamWow. You get the look it. You can clean up your mess. You talk like that. And then it became such a sensation. Like, who is this guy?
The Slap Chop was like, I was like, this dude is
It's the same
fire.
Guy, right?
Yeah. It's after ShamWow became a sensation, which, first of all, got a ShamWow because of it. We got ShamWow because of that guy, because it was funny. It was very like no frills, cut to the chase. You gotta clean a mess. You don't want to use paper towels.
Yes.
There he is. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy, like, so
I already
like,
want,
and also
I already
like
want to buy that.
New Yorker, like, hey, come on, trust me, forget about it.
That it feels like it's an East Coast
Absolutely
persona.
Is.
Because we're too laid back to
we're
be like
too
that.
Too laid back.
Yeah.
My favorite salesman is a character. It's not an actual salesman, but Harlan Williams' character in There's Something About Mary.
Me, I'm a salesman.
The seven-minute abs.
Yes,
but you know, I a lot of these things, like I went door to door as a job when I was 18, and there was a lot of like sales training before we would do it, and a lot of things that, you know, that I see these people using. It was like a thing called the C factor, which is SEE, and the S means smile, the E means eye contact, and the other E means excitement. And so all of this is kind of, you're seeing them look at you. I know it's not person to person. Excitement, you know, eye contact, smiling, happy, because that's what's going to translate into somebody like, I like this person. I'm interested in what they're selling, right? So I think a lot of those tactics that I learned are a lot of what these infomercial guys use. Yeah. And of course, they talk really fast.
Well, honestly, watch 30 seconds of that Slap Chop. It's stupid, right? But you look at it and you instantly go, I can use that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I could use that.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to buy it, you would basically get it, take it out of the package, put it in a cupboard somewhere, and probably never
use it.
Never even use it.
The thing they don't say, and go back to the ShamWow, we bought one, and for about 6 months, this is the greatest invention of all time. And then after 6 months, you're like, and you've washed, you're like, yeah, you just put it in the washing machine. But they don't tell you that, like, the microfibers are so powerful that, like, it's getting
what
a little stain. It's got hairs caught
the
in there.
What does ShamWow
like,
do?
It's basically, you'll never have to buy a paper towel again. That was their big thing.
It's a reusable paper
it's
towel.
It's a reusable. It's essentially a fancier
microfiber.
You right. spill your glass of wine, it's boom, it's picked up.
Right. And the whole thing was like, you don't even have to wash it. All you got to do is rinse it in there and squeeze it out, and you're good. You can use it again. But they don't tell you that, of course, that's kind of disgusting.
this is not even hobby related. What are some of the other infomercials that they've had over the years? I mean, I know the George Foreman grill.
Oh,
the guy. There was the Roscoe's food dehydrator. that you could make like beef jerky and stuff like that way back in the day.
The guy who's big now is the guy with the tape, like the crazy adhesive tape.
Yeah,
that stuff
that
actually,
you could fix a boat with.
I will say this. That stuff works. That stuff actually does work. That stuff's pretty incredible.
But does it fill up a hole in a boat?
I don't. Well, look,
do you have the ball? Take that in the Pacific Ocean.
No.
And basically slap, you have a gaping hole in the boat, slap some tape on it.
Slap like he does.
And then just basically be like, that's cool. I'm going to go ahead and take this out into the ocean. Well, I feel pretty good.
Time to go to the Hawaiian Islands.
You guys get the connection between Slap Chop, the ShamWow, the tape guy, and sports cards. You understand what the connection is, right? Does anybody have an answer to that?
I don't know. The excitement.
It's stuff that you don't necessarily need. So you have to have somebody selling you it. Because if it was like something that you use on a daily, you're not having Billy Mays pitch it. You're going to get it. You need it.
You're not having Billy Mays for Chevron.
Like an iPhone, they don't have Billy Mays pitching an iPhone. Like, they just put the fancy commercials out because they know people are going to buy it anyway. But, for a ShamWow, you need to be kind of pitched on it.
Didn't they have, like,
to sell it?
Didn't
get
they have,
it.
Like, nighttime glasses that would, like,
oh,
make everything?
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, like, you'd be.
The nighttime sunglasses?
The nighttime sunglasses that would, like.
Light, it would make everything brighter.
Light everything up.
But it just is, like, it's night vision is what you're selling. You're selling me the idea of night vision, something that's existed for a while.
I'm trying to think of what else, like. No, you're right, Doug. I mean, it is something that you don't need. You don't see infomercials on everyday items that basically sell themselves.
No.
Yeah, you don't see, like, you need to get a whole 24-pack of Diet Coke because this is going to, you know, you don't see that. It's just like you're going to go get it because you want it.
Right.
You know, you don't need a Diet Coke, but you know what I'm saying. Speaking of Don West, we have a code for all these new releases, which we're going to get into that right now, the new release talk. Use code Don West all together, and it'll save you 10% off on mojobreak.com, where you can get in on Obsidian, you can get in on Flawless, you can get in on Tribute, and many, many more. So use that code up, save yourself 10%, chase those big hits as I'm getting my own Don West on right now. We've got Flawless, and we talked about it last week, and we've now confirmed that there is no Chet logo man in Flawless.
Or RPAs.
Or RPAs, but the price is going up. So do you think collectors just don't care about this? And this is a question for C-Rad. What were your initial reaction when you heard about it?
Obviously, I understood because he didn't play his rookie season, so it's hard to get a game use anything on him if he didn't play last year, right? Which is the big draw of Flawless is that by the end of the year, by the end of the season, or maybe a lot of times the last few years after the season, Flawless comes out, they had time to acquire these rookie jerseys that they actually played in. And that's why it's the draw of Flawless, not only just obviously the vet stuff, but rookies, all rookie stuff is actually game used in Flawless because they were able to acquire it. So obviously, knowing that it obviously sucks to have a big name like Chet, like, you know, obviously probably the biggest rookie name, especially with the rivalry with Wemby right now. But then I did a deep dive on the checklist because I had to put up a player break, and there's a lot of surprising things in the product this year, which I kind of understand why maybe people are starting to realize, like, oh, this is like a actually pretty great year of Flawless. And the Thunder spot specifically, I was kind of mentioning to you, like, not only do they have the Chet, they have Chet Holmgren autographs, right? Chet Holmgren autographs, but Jalen Williams is low key, like, a lot of people think that he's even the better player than Chet on the Thunder team as the way they're constructed right now. But he just doesn't shine as much because of the national media attention on Chet versus Wemby. And then obviously Shai Gilgeous is the number one guy. He might be one of the best point guards in the NBA right now. So like Jalen Williams get a little bit overshadowed.
Does SGA have some autos in it too?
SGA has autos, logo mans, and patch autos.
Wow.
So that Thunder spot is huge because you got SGA logo man, you have the Jalen Williams rookie patch autos and logo mans. And if you look at the Jalen Williams RPAs on NT, I was showing Doug, the true 99 still sell for around 4K, which is like still below Chet of what the true RPAs of Chet go for. But that's not chump change. That's more than 70% of the other rookies in that draft
class.
That's
easily top five, maybe top three.
So you're talking about two top tier rookies that you're going after for the Thunder. And you got literally probably the best point guard after Steph and Shai Gilgeous. So, and then not only that, first autograph, I mentioned in the chat, first autograph of Paul George since 2003.
Yep.
2013, I'm sorry, Flawless. For Flawless, I mean, he's been in other projects, but for Flawless. First time Paul George. First time Rasheed Wallace has been in Flawless, and he has Logo Man's in there as well. James Harden still sells for, you know, we always talk about how James Harden's got to probably over the hill, but his patch auto still for sell for over 1,000 easily.
Yeah, and I mean, that case we did this morning, I mean, I sat in and Greg was let me rip a box, but we pulled a Paul George, we pulled a James Harden auto, we pulled a Chet auto, we pulled a Luka auto.
Crazy. It was it's crazy,
Allen Iverson
dude.
In there, too.
Allen Iverson, yeah.
You know what it is? Like, this is the culmination of, like, we've seen it. Like, Panini, this is, like, we're getting towards the end of their run with the licenses, right? Specifically, I noticed that they are like loading up a lot of these basketball products with better vet names, and we saw it with the Flawless this morning. There were so many good veterans in just the regular box, the mini bud before you get inside the briefcase. That's like most of the times you're getting like a bunch of low tier vets, and then you'll maybe get like one big name vet.
A lot of Fat Lever.
Yes, exactly. But I will tell you, by going through the checklist myself, there is more good names than there is guys that people don't want this year. So
yeah.
I mean, to add a couple of things to it, I'm just curious. Do you think that there's going to be Chet RPAs and Logo Man in next year's Flawless?
Yes, because we.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. That's okay. All right. Thanks for reminding me. That's the other thing. We got 1920 Flawless Giannis back in the product. He finally returned his cards from Flawless. That's another big reason Flawless is up this year. Giannis Antetokounmpo is huge. When do you get him in high-end products for autographs and patch autos and Logomans, right? I think RJ Barrett also returned his stuff. I think Scottie Barnes returned his stuff from 21-20 because he wasn't didn't have jerseys to use of him either for his rookie year.
Right.
So to answer your question, yes, 100% Chet Holmgren.
Scottie Barnes rookie patch autos?
Yes, and Logomans. And Logoman. So you're talking like I'm telling you guys, this Flawless is crazy.
Right.
So so at the end of the day, like, we look at the price tag and we're like, man, like, without Chet RPAs, like, how is this still at like 21,000? It's because, one, the checklist is stacked, like what Conrad's talking about. Two, there's more demand than there is supply.
Yes.
There's more people who
and they
want
don't make that much.
There's more they don't make that much. There's more people who want to rip this. There's more people who want to get in breaks. There's more people who want to, like, honestly probably prospect this, like, set and, like, store it away if they possibly can. Like, that is why this product is not going to go down. It isn't. I know everybody wants to point to the fact that there's no Chet RPAs, there's no Chet Logo Man, product is dead, it's worthless. Well,
that chatter died down quickly, so I haven't heard much of that chatter this week.
The other thing that they added, and this is doesn't pertain to the regular release of Flawless, but first off the line had those Bill Russell game used patches.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Only in first off the line.
Only in FLTO.
They were
at Panini needs
all 101s.
Yeah, they're all 101s, and they had like the six on the jersey,
They had the six.
Yeah, right. Bro, it's
the tribute. The tribute. Jeez.
That's the best FOTL.
That's the best FOTL. But the thing, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either.
The marketing is bad, man.
So I didn't know that. Honestly, if I knew about that, we would have had a bunch of first off the line. I would have been like, these cards are worth. They're new and they're worth getting the first off.
It's easily the best FLTL exclusive they've ever done. So, 100%.
I mean, so we praise. We could sit here. We're praising Panini right now with like an amazing release, right? An amazing checklist. But damn, that marketing on that. They could have probably sold FOTL for more than it actually sold for. I know it sold for an insane amount, but it didn't sell for what it's going for on the market right now anyway. Just the regular.
I think so. Close to it.
Like 24,000. Well, and right now it's like 21,000.
Yeah.
So I think if they would have really marketed it and marketed those cards, I think it actually would have went for more. I think they left money on the table.
When's your triple case?
Saturday night. Pick your player.
Folks, Saturday night we got a banger triple case. Pick your player. No, I'm kidding. But I'm not kidding on the break, but.
Get into Conrad's break. Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. That was the best part of the video that didn't get played is when he goes like very solemnly, if you don't buy this, you're going to wake up tomorrow. Look at yourself in the mirror. And you know what you're going to see? A loser.
So take that energy. Get in. You can get players for under $100 in three cases. That is six boxes. There is over 60 cards in that break. So yeah. Go to mojobreak.com. Use that code, too, that we the Don West code. Save yourself some money. Looks like Yamamoto is going to have some rookies in tribute, just SP rookies. So that's a good news. I believe J.H. Lee is in there as well.
Jung-Hoo Lee and Yoshinobu Yamamoto will both have, I think it's the average is about one out of every 13 cases. And yet, I was talking to Bubba. He went back-to-back cases, got two Yamamotos, and in another case, got a Jung-Hoo Lee. So,
wow.
Yeah, pretty good stuff over on the Fanatics Live side. Aren't
like what they was that tribute?
Yeah, just base rookies.
The rookies. I remember getting a rookie every box.
One
box you would get a rookie.
But I think there's two or three guys that are SP rookies. Yeah.
They would. I think it's just them. Maybe Imanaga as well. I'm not sure.
Does Shohei have Dodger stuff yet?
Yes, it's his first base Dodgers. First base Juan Soto Yankee card. So really the first product, if you want all the guys in their new uniforms.
Is there a Shohei Pete Rose duel yet?
Okay, there it is. There it is.
Did you see the Pete Rose video?
I saw the Pete Rose video.
He said he wishes he had an interpreter in the 70s.
Yep, go Dodgers.
The only correct way for him to do that video is for him to have an interpreter right next to him.
That would have been great.
Yeah. That would have been but I don't think they're only I don't think old Petey is gonna come up with
anyway,
that.
Anyway, go
fly.
See Pete Rose at I don't know Westgate Casino in
Tuscany.
Sure, yeah.
The Orleans, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
The same hat, the white Reds hat.
He's probably at the El Cortez. Actually, that's probably he probably has
a good spot.
He probably
that's
a sweet
great,
there.
That's a great spot. He's just you see old Pete Rose just sitting at the El Cortez,
betting like, on the ponies,
just sitting at the bar over there.
Yep.
So, also, we have some releases that we didn't really talk about. Elite Extra and Big League are both out as well. What is the best bargain box between the two of them?
Elite Extra.
Elite. Yeah. 10 hits still, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same configuration.
Yeah. I don't care that there's no, you know, licensing.
You don't,
that
care.
Many
you don't
autos,
care that there's anybody in there you've ever heard of. That, you just like the fact there's 10 hits.
That many autos for that low a price. Can't beat it. And Paul Skeens is in there. Dylan Cruz is in there. There's a chance at the biggest guys.
But and you can't get Striker or Chai City Poles out of it, though.
No, you can't, know? Unfortunately. And you can't get a follow back from, let's go look at the follow back list. Oscar Colas, Alec
Baller.
Manoa.
Ooh.
Daryl Strawberry. It's kind of cool.
The straw man.
Jordan Westberg. Did that do anything? Follow back? The best fallback is probably Yordan Alvarez. So that's
sweet.
Anyway,
Obsidian.
No mic drop.
White versus black color blast.
White all day.
We always do this debate. I like the black. I get the white is the more coveted one, but I like the black.
Well, I've been bidding on cards. We got a new buyback coming out soon. And man,
most
it could be
most overrated SP in all.
The hobby does. That's a overrated statement by you, because the hobby does not dictate that. Because I was watching cards. I'm able to buy a. I'll put it in this because I've been going through eBay a lot lately, and I could buy a Donovan Mitchell auto rookie for like $70-$80. Maybe not from a big set, but maybe from like Crown Royal, right? But a third year Donovan Mitchell color blast is like $1,200. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
100% makes sense.
There's nothing more overrated in this industry.
when you
color blast.
When you can only get one in every 10 cases,
give me a
the
down,
rarity
give me a downtown.
The rarity
give me a downtown all day.
The rarity starts to make sense.
Now, they're not as rare in Obsidian.
No. That's why the black color blasts are not as cool.
They do look cool. I will give you that.
They look cool.
Yeah, if we're just going aesthetics.
I'm talking about rarity.
Right. Rarity, that's not even
actually, rarity and aesthetics, I do prefer.
Rarity is not an argument. Aesthetically, I like the black color blast more. I like the color blast contrasting against the all black. I think it looks cool.
I like the all white.
But yeah.
And then we got some 2023 Transcendence, obviously, coming down the pipeline. Fanatics Live only product, so check us out on there if we have any left. I think the question is it the best cut auto checklist of all time?
It's got to be up there, man.
It's really good.
It's got to be up there.
It's really, really good.
I want the Tupac. I think I wanted the Tupac last year as well, but...
No Jimi Hendrix.
Well, they can just fly to Cuba.
Oh,
and just get
yeah,
more,
that's
right?
Probably the one big omission.
And if you've seen, I was talking about it with the shipping department. If you've seen Jimi Hendrix's auto, it is probably the coolest looking auto ever.
And it's a very, like, I feel like for Rockstar autographs, and it's part of that is because he was so merchandised in the last 20 years or so, but definitely one of the more recognizable autographs.
Sure.
You know?
And I mean, very expensive. I mean, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, all very expensive to obtain.
Yeah.
That's part of it, too.
How much does Jimmy usually go for?
I checked a long time ago, and it's five figures.
Wow.
Sheesh. So for Transcendent, you're looking at...
For like a bold, good-looking autograph that's certified.
And it's reformatted. Remember, they didn't have it last year, so it's been a couple years of a layoff on Transcendent.
They revamped it.
They revamped it in a hobby box. There's 200 boxes made total, so that's going to be gone in a few days. You got the Transcendent Icon Chrome Packs. There's 10 now, and I watched a few of them. They're pretty loaded. You get four cards. They are chrome cards with the Transcendent logo on it.
You get 10 packs.
10 packs.
In a box.
Yes.
Wow.
You get one Transcendent Icon Superfractor, so you're guaranteed a 1-of-1 Superfractor. You get 20 gold-framed autographs this year, so they cut that down. So there's more variety. You're not getting the same ones in every case. Autograph patch cards, there's 10 of those now.
Is there a variety in the names that you get as well? Yes. They're not always in the same order, every single box?
Yes, it's all different.
That's great.
It is... I say that, I mean, they did a phenomenal job of, like, switching it up, because it definitely did, it needed a little refresh.
It grew stale, we talk about it, it grew stale about, like, 3 years ago, bro, 4 years ago.
So they did revamp it, and 1959 top superfractor autograph, so you're getting two superfractors, basically, in the case. Through the years autograph, which is also another 1-of-1, one cut signature, and most of the cuts are regular size.
Cool.
They're mostly, except for the big quads, duels, and stuff like that. So I've seen them. They're just regular cutouts.
Because they realize, they realize that all that real estate is not needed for some of these
guys.
Yeah,
and it's not as collectible for, I think, most collectors, right?
Yes.
And then the VIP invitation now is broken down. If I understand it correctly, there is
tiers.
191 regulars and 9 like super VIPs.
Oh, so there's also a little mystery if you're going to get the super VIP
invitation. But I do think that it does show, I think somebody might have pulled one today, and I can't confirm or deny, that it does look different on the envelope. The other one's just black. And then it's like, those ones are gold.
So you know right away.
Right.
So like when you buy into the pick your item breaks, you're kind of like, you're almost hoping for that gold.
Right, so there's a level
It's like
of
a
that.
Golden ticket.
Yeah, yep. And this will be technically, even though they have ran some, but tops through those ones still. This is probably the first Fanatics.
Hey, you know how Fanatics throw parties.
That's right. Gotta wear all white.
Actually, I don't. I don't know. I don't.
We'll
I
find
don't.
Out.
Or at least we know how the big wig throws a party.
Yeah, we know that. We didn't get it. Our invite must have got lost.
I just found a recently sold Jimi Hendrix signed autographed magazine, graded BGS 10 slabbed. Any guesses on that price?
$20,000.
You're close, actually. Very close.
18.
See, right?
17,800.
Now, look at that autograph.
Actually, he was closer by 200. You were 250.
Look at that autograph and tell me that autograph isn't badass, though.
It's a great auto.
So getting back to the cut auto, we were talking about greatest cut auto. Now, there's 200 cases made, so we basically doubled the production run.
So it's easy to say that alone, yeah.
Is it? Because you look through and... we can go down the list. There's some cut autos that you're just like, ouch,
bro. Please don't tell me there's Gary Carter in there.
Yeah, not on the main cut list, but he is on a cut. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Some of these are a little...
Leonard Nimoy?
Oh, now don't be hating on Spock.
I knew Cody was going to be
don't
like,
don't be hating on Spock. That's a legend.
Nobody
watches Star Wars.
Star Trek, dude.
I know. I did it on purpose.
Goodness gracious.
Who cares?
Don't be hating on Spock.
They have Philip Seymour Hoffman recently passed away.
I mean, that's okay. That's okay. I mean,
ESH. RIP.
I just can't.
Ray Liotta?
Yeah, I don't.
I get it, though, being like, okay, you know.
Go buy some Pop Century from
amazing.
Ago.
Hey, Goodfellas, legendary. But yeah, having him in the same set as like Charles Dickens is a little strange, sure.
Old Chuck?
Yeah.
Kobe's in it.
Antonin Scalia, former Supreme Court Justice.
I will somewhat agree with Dan that with a product this expensive, there's some names that probably
there's some names where I'm like, and maybe because they unfortunately passed like not that long ago, but like
right.
I don't know. Like I open up a box in my main cut, and again, I'm just using it as an example. I'm not trying to harp on the great Leonard Nimoy.
Don't be hating on there's so many
like,
others.
I'm going to look at that and go, ouch, bro.
Oh, come on. That is not an ouch. That's not an ouch because of the Star Trek market.
What else
that
did
is
he
why
do?
It's not a cut.
Is there a Does market for Star Trek?
There's, of course there's a market
oh,
for
damn,
Star Trek.
We're going to get flamed. By the Star Trek.
Oh, be ready. No. You thought the Star Cards episode was bad. Just wait till the
Trek. I think I'm anticipating zero people.
What about, I mean, I haven't watched a full Star Wars, and I definitely haven't watched a full Star Trek.
Well, I have another one that I might get flamed over just because he has a lot of cards, and I'd rather just have a card of him as Kobe Bryant. Like a cut auto of Kobe Bryant when he was a Panini spokesperson and had autos. In every product for 10 years, like, would I rather have a white card of, you know,
Well, would you
Kobe
rather
Bryant?
Have a Kobe Bryant or a Kobe Ray
Bryant.
Liotta?
Well, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Okay. Or Leonard
it's Eamon. Kobe is going Kobe. To be one of the biggest ones.
But, yeah, I mean, John Bryant. Lennon, James Gandolfini, Jimmy Fox.
James
John.
Gandolfini, also, you go back in,
he's
pop,
said a lot
you
of
go
stuff.
Into back to pop century stuff. Yeah. Like, readily available.
Yeah.
Like, that's also, like... I look at the cut autos and I'm like, I want scarcity.
Oh, Heath Ledger.
Has he been in stuff for that? God, that's got to be hard to
And get. I don't know how Helen Keller has a lot of autos, too. She's in here again.
Yeah. Helen Keller.
She can't see, right?
Yeah, no. Or nor can she nor could she hear?
It's here, right?
She couldn't do, yeah. She couldn't see or hear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And despite that, was able to write and anyway.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Go over some ones that. If you were to dome a box and you were to basically slow roll everybody on there, I want to hear. We already heard
like
mine.
The
already,
one where I'd be like, womp, womp.
You'd be like, oh, son of a bitch. Mine's Leonard Nimoy.
How dare you?
I am going to stick to that. I'm going to be like that. If I was to open up that unbelievable case of cards and to see my cut auto be Spock, I'd be like, man, I really hope I'm nailing it on those packs.
It's tough, like, because, look.
Walter Cronkite, I think, for me. I know he was a face of the news for a long time.
The man who announced the death of John F. Kennedy to a morning nation.
Would yours, if I didn't take Leonard Nimoy, would you take that one?
Yeah, probably. How dare you go? I'm going to look up some Leonard Nimoy.
I'll say Ray Liotta. I'm not a huge fan of Ray Liotta.
Yeah, so. I mean, again, he...
Yeah,
Napoleon has an auto in
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay,
Napoleon.
I mean, I don't know.
Not even dynamite.
Could I be stoked? Could I be stoked if I get that? Like, do I get canceled if I'm like, I'm so stoked I got a Napoleon?
It's cool. It's a piece of history.
It is. That one.
But would it? Okay, let's just say, would it be cool to pull a Hitler autograph?
No.
100%.
But to play on what Cody just said. It's a piece of history.
Not well. There are certain things.
That is where the line is. The line is drawn.
Napoleon probably killed a lot.
Okay, and I think we've had this conversation before on a podcast about Transcendent Autos, where we're like, where is the line drawn?
Napoleon is one of those where
Charles Manson.
No, God no.
Okay, I'm not saying I would want it. I'm saying where is the line drawn?
William H. Gacy, right? Same thing.
Right.
Or William Gacy.
So
if
you've been involved in any type of like murder,
if you are if the mention of your name is like bad man immediately in your head, like there's just guys where I know that's so simplified. But there's just certain people in history where you hear the name and you go, bad man. That's a bad man.
There's probably some ladies as well.
Sure. Of course.
But there is horror.
I mean,
there
wasn't just Clyde. There was Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Well, there's also Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr is in there, the man who shot and killed Alexander Hamilton.
I think,
who's on duel with him.
Right. I think that is in bad taste.
Now, you could also say the rules of dueling were different at that time, where it was like something where you had to do it. It wasn't like this like act of, oh, I'm going to kill this person in cold blood. It was like, I challenge you to a duel. All right, that's what we're doing.
I don't know if that's how it happened.
Yeah, the challenge. That was
no, I thought he was. I thought he was murdered at like an opera.
No, no. Well, that's that. What you're thinking, Abe Lincoln?
Oh yeah, that guy too. Yeah.
No,
Did he challenge somebody to a duel?
No, he just shot Abe Lincoln.
You're telling me that.
No, Aaron Burr challenged Alexander. No, I want to say it might have been Hamilton challenged him. I can't remember. I literally watched Hamilton. I can't remember. But yeah, that's a duel. It's different. There's some honor. There's a little bit of honor to it, if you can call it that.
There's a little bit of murder there.
It wasn't just in cold blood.
Well, I like that term murder because it's going to segue us into the quarterbacks that rookie class
wow.
over the last couple years.
Oh, my
and
God.
And how collectors that are holding the bag on some of this stuff. Will collectors be more careful with rookie QB purchases after Justin Fields and Mac Jones? Is the 2021 draft class officially a bust?
What about the 22? I know.
There wasn't as much hype behind 22, though. Not nearly as much hype.
There wasn't a lot of first round.
Take Brock Purdy out of 22.
Yeah, no, there's nothing.
Brock Purdy wasn't supposed to be a chase anyway. Let's take him out of 22. The worst draft class that we've had for quarterbacks since 2013, and you can make an argument worse than 2013, and possibly the worst that we've seen since Mojo Break has existed.
But when you have one quarterback go to a Super Bowl, it doesn't even matter anymore. It vilifies that whole class.
And I think, too, you have to take into context the conversation.
Because you're trying to say that the 2018 class then is better right. than the 2022, but if you look at Super Bowls, none of those guys went to the Super Bowl.
I think you have to take into context.
If I am going to buy a box, I'm going to buy a box of NT, and I have a choice between 22 or 2018, I'm picking 2018.
Well, yeah. I think that's fair.
And that speaks for itself.
But if we're comparing, but let's stick with 21 and 22, because if we're talking about both of these, we went into 22 going, oh boy, this is going to be rough. There is no QBs. We got Kenny Pickett and nothing else. We were trying to hype all these guys. We're 21. Yeah. We all were like, oh my God, we have Trevor Lawrence. We have Justin Fields.
So many quarterbacks.
We got everybody. It's
Mac Jones.
We're never lost. We're never going to lose. This is amazing. And now,
I've never
Trevor
seen
Lawrence,
so many
if you
quarterbacks
does
leave
it,
and move their
does
teams
it change
this fast.
If Trevor Lawrence wins a Super Bowl next year,
of course it completely
then
changed.
Then we're like, man, go get your 21 stuff. It becomes like 2017 all over again.
Yeah, I think it changes. Well, I think also the place where Justin Fields goes here, where now the I know Russell Wilson's going to start, but one, it all takes an injury, and two, what if first half Russell Wilson shows up? Then, and we've already heard Russell Wilson is essentially a bridge for Justin Fields.
And speaking of years and speaking of products, knowing what we know now, we just had Mahomes win another Super Bowl. Is 2017 product undervalued?
I think Mahomes in general is undervalued because he keeps winning Super Bowls and his prices aren't the same.
They're not going up.
No.
And along with the product isn't spiking either. And right. there's every year there's less and less of 2017 yep. because people do end up ripping it at some point.
Yep.
I know it's a lot of money, but you look at Tom Brady and imagine if you just had stored away 30, 40, 50, 60 boxes of Tom Brady rookie, what?
Contenders.
2000 yep. contenders. You just stored those away. You'd be rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going the white
I actually think, and if you had money to do it, not a lot of people do, I think buying 2017 product and holding it and keeping it sealed is the best play you can make in the football category.
That's the new blue chip.
It's a new blue chip.
Exactly.
That's IBM right there.
Yeah. But like
that's compact.
We can start comparing this class. I know there's a lot of hype behind it. Could end up being the 2021 class because you've got Caleb Williams, you know, who's probably going to go to the Bears. You've got, you know, Drake May. You've got Michael Penix. You've got three other guys, right?
Four. I'm counting.
Got a little
JJ McCarthy.
Though.
I'm counting at least.
Oh, yeah.
And depending on
that, like that is one thing that you know, 2017 product. Mahomes wasn't a redemption in a lot of the stuff. Definitely not a redemption in contenders.
Right.
Not a redemption in NT.
Yeah.
And a rookie photo shoot guy. So you know that he is basically in every single product. There's a huge uncertainty going into this rookie class. Contenders, I can't wait. I want to see what Panini is going to do with contenders this year, with not hat like this year,
yeah.
with you know the crop of rookies yeah. before the draft. What is contenders going to look like? It's an autograph based product. I know we talked about it before. What are we gonna do? There's no. What are you chasing? And
no autographs.
And there's no rookie cards in that set. Generally,
there's no type of insert or base
like,
that you're
like
chasing.
There's like the rookie contenders insert that nobody cares about. How is that? Is that product going to be the biggest disappointment that we've had
no
in the
autograph.
Last decade?
The draft day Wembies are still selling for like two grand.
But you're going to do
days.
You're going to do no
like
autograph on all those homies. You're going to do no autograph on all.
Levis, and Wemby yeah. is such an exception. Like he is so like it's like yeah. I don't think it's
CJ
fair
Stroud
to say
no auto.
That would probably be the only one that would do half decent. Like everything else would probably be tough.
I think in basketball with one player like Wemby. You can do the no auto.
Yeah.
You can't have a set where you have five of the top quarterbacks and they're all no autos. Yeah. Like
well, basketball does so. Too. Grady, Scoot.
I know. I just. But,
yeah, but Wemby's so far above them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where Stroud is like he's obviously above these other guys, but he's not.
He's not the
same height.
He's not the equivalent of Wemby in basketball.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah, I guess I get to your point on the 2024 rookie class, you have a potential of having no autos from any of those yeah. five quarterbacks.
And you have potentially 4 to 5 in the first round, depending on where Penix goes, which he might be falling to the second round. But Penix is still going to be a chase. You got 5 legitimate QBs that people are going to chase.
It
kind of is a direct parallel to the 21 class.
So, I mean, now you throw in that. You see 2021, which wasn't a Fanatics year, and all these guys have moved except for Trevor Lawrence. And now you're going to throw in the addition of, like, they may not even have any autos now. And they may move in 2 years. Like, you got to be, as a quarterback collector, the hypes and prospects, you got to be like, where do I go? What do I buy? I mean, you're almost better off buying some of the college stuff because then you know they had a good college career.
I'm actually trying to wrap my head around contenders and just thinking about a CJ Stroud that is stamped no auto. I don't want that.
No.
Honestly, because there are other CJ Stroud autos in the market, I really don't want that.
Well, and a fresh perspective, we just hired a new breaker who's in training. It's his second day today. And on his first day, he was like, yeah, I saw that Wemby, like, no autograph. That was dumb. Like, why'd they do that? And that's a guy that's not even involved in the hobby, just buying packs here and there. He's like, I don't understand that, and I had to explain it to him. But, like, I'm sure there's a lot like him that are like, I'm not going to buy that crap. Like, even though the card might go for a couple $1,000.
This is probably the year, and I hate to say it. I love the product so much. I know you love the product. This might be the year to skip contenders football. Like I'm saying from Panini standpoint, like let's not even print it, bro.
And it's only going to be worse next year. It's
contenders optic, you might be able to pull it off because it's prism.
Right.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
I mean,
you might be able to pull it off with contenders optic.
I take it back. I didn't want to bring this up. Could we just like edit this? Because like I'm not happy now. Like I love contenders.
I love contenders. Yeah. I'm with you, dude.
I love contenders, but I'm just like now I'm like wrapping my head around it, and I'm like, yeah,
cracked ice. You're nothing better, dude.
Cracked ice.
There's no rookie ticket that's better than that.
We knew there were going to be
cracked
casualties.
Cracked ice, not as nice. Not as nice with no ink.
What you're going to start to see, and this is why you already are, you're seeing base cards of Wemby out of Prism going for $100 on a base card. Like,
100%.
Because it's consolidated a lot of the other avenues that they can buy and get cards.
Yep.
They don't want the no autograph. They don't want the elite inserts. They want that, you know. I mean, there'll be pockets with like the Kabooms and Crown Royale that are going to do well. But like,
if there's a special insert in the set, it's going to do well.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that they can do is come out with a super innovative SP for the rookies that's only in contenders. And honestly, let's face it, like if this hasn't been in the works already, it's too late.
Or let's combine, let's just do one release contender and contenders optic.
As in one.
You can get the regular contender tickets with cracked ice. For the guys that are signing. And then you have the prism too, so you combine, so you still get the regular contender stock for the guys that are signing. But then for the on the Prism side with Contenders Optic, you can have like some really cool CJ Stroud type of new crazy looking Prism insert.
I would not be
shocked.
That's
the best
exactly
case scenario
they
because they put Contenders Optic previews in Zenith.
But they make so much more Contenders than they make Contenders Optic.
Well, they're going to make a lot. They're going to have to sell them bitches for $50 a box.
And then, imagine you're getting like your on-card auto that you're going to get one in a box is potentially going to be one of those no autos.
Who number one like auto that, you can get out of football right now would be what?
AR.
Puka or AR?
Puka. AR and Puka.
Puka and AR, that's right.
Those are the best names
right.
you can
those
get.
Are the, yeah, those are, of course.
And then you got like Jameer and Bijan.
And right. Puka probably. Richardson, absolutely a rookie photo shoot guy, so he'll probably be in there. I don't know if they'll be live.
That's bad. I forgot it's AR. But Richardson's the guy.
But Puka will probably be a sticker auto guy. I doubt he'll be an on card.
Probably.
He wasn't at the rookie photo shoot, so I'm expecting him to be a sticker auto guy. They've done really, really good the last couple years pivoting and getting like the Brock Purdy's into these releases, the Pukas into these, like not like in one or two releases like they would in the past. They've been getting them into majority of the releases. So yeah. You got to give credit to Panini for being able to pivot and be able to get some of these like rookies that they didn't know. They don't know. It's not like a sure thing that they're going to be stars in the NFL their rookie season. So that has been definitely a good thing that they've done.
Rounding it out, I'm more excited about opening day this year than any other day. I was actually thinking any other year, I should say, tomorrow or as you're listening to this today for the podcast. But if I could bet, and I can't bet in California, so this is a hypothetical.
Neither can Shohei Ohtani.
Right, that too.
Oh, he can, no.
He can.
And he's proved that he has done it.
But I'm saying, I don't know if a team has a over-under a runs allowed for a season, but I would hammer the under on the Giants because we've got like five aces. We're going to win games 1-0. It's going to be 1-0.
Or we're going to lose games 1-0.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys are also discounting a much improved lineup. I'm sorry. This is like not even – there's not even a question in my mind.
Man, this is
a playoff
nice.
Team.
I like the positivity here for you guys. For the Giants.
Look at where we're
– we may go a month without scoring a run.
Jordan Hicks, the third guy. He threw 10 strikeouts.
When did this lineup get that bad? They improved all over the field. That's a better lineup.
They were pretty bad last year.
Jorge Soler, the most home runs that we've ever had on a team.
Have you watched – you've seen Major League, right?
Sure.
You know the fans that are always like doom and gloom? Yeah, I'm in that camp. Every year the season starts and I'm like, this might possibly be the worst team I've ever seen in my existence.
Langford opening day starter, that's going to be huge. We'll see if he gets into series two or update, maybe.
Oh, he's definitely in. He Who? Has to be. He's
oh,
in
Wyatt.
Opening day. Wyatt Langford is in. Jackson Churio is in. And I think I
Jackson Holiday
that's
out.
Crazy.
Jackson
Holiday that's crazy not. About Langford that he's already he's already caught up.
Can I just throw this out? I don't know if we quite understand how insane this is. 44 MLB pro games. He basically just went from rookie ball to AAA in half of a season because he was so good. He batted like 360, 10 home runs and 161 at-bats. Also had 12 stolen bases. Third player since the draft started in 1965 to be on the opening day roster after playing less than 100 pro games. John Olerud is one of the last ones as well. He's going to be like the middle of the order hitter for a World Series champion. This doesn't happen. So I think... I'm going to throw it out there.
Okay.
Ellie De La Cruz, bye-bye. Wyatt Langford is the absolute biggest chase
Giants,
of the season.
Giants-Rangers.
Giants-Rangers World Series. Yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
So you're saying that Wyatt Langford is the next John Olerud?
I mean...
That's literally all I got. And John Olerud was a good pro.
It's a great pro.
Well, I mean, good
he was
pro.
A great pro.
I wouldn't jump into great, but
there's Hall of Great, not Hall of Fame. He's firmly in the Hall of Great.
We'll leave you guys with some. We were going to get into the Ohtani thing, but maybe it's best we didn't get into it.
Go
today.
Dodgers.
Breakout players to watch, guys, in your products: Spencer Torkelson, Hunter Green, Grayson Rodriguez, O'Neill Cruz, Jordan Walker, and C.J. Abrams.
Spencer Torkelson's hitting 45 home runs this year.
Jeez.
That's my big bet.
Shouldn't have sold that.
Look at his second half last year.
Spencer Torkelson,
45 plus bombs.
Cody, are you eating edibles?
45 plus bombs for Spencer Torkelson. Also, as much as it pains me to say this as a Giants fan, I don't think Shohei did anything. I think he's innocent. I think he is guilty of being a little oblivious.
So
to what's going on.
So do you give your best friend just like PIN numbers to your credit cards and routing account number, the access to.
We know how hard it is to do a wire transfer.
Hey, we've seen it happen time and time again with famous people, athletes, celebrities. Selena, remember, like, she trusted her manager.
Yes.
She blew her away.
The amount of celebrities who come into a lot of money really fast.
I mean, that's.
It got dark. but to your point, the amount of celebrities who get into a lot of money really fast and then kind of get swindled is a lot higher than we think.
Yeah.
And just because Shohei is this like above, like God among men,
let's face it,
doesn't mean he isn't susceptible to that.
Man, no. Like, I mean, I know he is.
Again, I might be an
obviously
idiot,
he's the face of baseball. It is bad business for baseball for Ohtani to get in any type of trouble and to miss any type of time. And if he is guilty of betting on baseball, the example has been set already. He is done. And that is bad business.
Of course.
So let's just call it out how it is. Like, it's going to get swept under the rug. We're going to go on. If it was Fernando Tatis, he would be already suspended.
Chapman.
But suspended for what? Nothing's happened. All this is
allegations. Oh, they would have dug a little bit deeper.
How deep can they dig?
Fernando Tatis, like, they look at Fernando Tatis and they're like, there will be another Fernando Tatis.
If there was the
great
exact
top
same amount of
player,
information,
there'll be another Fernando Tatis. There is no replacing Shohei Ohtani. There will not be another one, so we can't do anything. He can't go away because there won't be another one.
I know we like to think this, but if there's the exact same amount of information for every other
player,
he's
guilty by association.
Nothing
yet. He's guilty by association.
Nothing happens
yet.
Oh, man. He's under a federal investigation. Dude, we should also. He is not, okay, but the situation is under federal investigation.
At some point, Cody woke up and he's like, I'm a Dodger fan now.
Oh, now, come on. Giants, 90-plus wins. They're making the playoffs. They're going to go against the Dodgers in the NLDS after the Dodgers had to take a week
off.
Rare,
you're
happen.
One of the few Dodger-Giant fans. You have the only double-hat Dodger-Giants hat in existence.
Look, I'm already wearing my MLB hat because that maybe you could have said that now I'm just a talking piece for the Major League
Baseball. I
actually
looked at that, and I like it. And then I was like, is Cody your fan of umpires?
Look, I just want everyone to have a good time, okay? It's
opening. That is a very fitting hat for the situation.
That's right. I just want everyone to have a good time.
Just have a big heart around it as well. All right, guys. We'll jump in on those breaks. We've got Flawless, Tribute, and more. We didn't really talk too much about Tribute, but Tribute's always great. And use that code DONWEST to save 10% on any break on MojoBreak.com. We'll see you guys next week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Peace.
Flair!
Flair!